large proportion in the New York City metro area. But the exact numbers, I mean, all of this could be discussed later at the local advisory board meeting as far as the exact numbers. But the concept that seats could be set aside for this purpose, I think, is what we're suggesting.
The reason why I'm bringing
this... last phrase. Or the board could choose to limit them in some way. The board could decide anything you want, that categories can only be, or seats can only be created if there is one for each group, or that there can be no more than two, or that the grand total, as we proposed in our latest draft, be no more than 50% of these set-aside seats. So the board can put all the restrictions it wants to make sure that its sense of fairness is satisfied. Mm-hmm. We're not wedded to numbers. We're wedded to the concept of guaranteed seats at the table of decision-making for communities that have a passionate interest in what Pacifica does.
Okay. Folks, this is what I want to suggest. I have six hands up that I've seen. Oh, now it's seven. I have Lydia, David, Stephen, Susan, Paul, Ted, and now Miguel. Let me just say, and now Michael, this is not a way that is going to, we're not going to get through this, right? So first what I want to do is see if any of you want to take your names off the list. No. Secondly, what I want to do then is put a very, very severe time limit on you. I guess I can only speak for myself. I have been reading this material and talking to people for 6 months, right? This is not a new issue. I think most of us on this board, if not all of us, are very familiar with many, if not all, of the arguments for both sides of this issue. So if you want to speak in 30 to 45 seconds, you got to give us something new and different that we haven't already been considering and reading and talking about. Because otherwise, you're just repeating the same territory. So, and if you start going over stuff that has already just been said or, you know, is in the material we've just given or whatever, then I'm going to just ask you to sit down. Okay? That's the only way to do it quickly. Lydia?
Okay. So the idea that occurred to me actually here was that an alternative is to keep to the simplicity of the 50-50 and add that to the candidates. In other words, that we'd be required to have the 50% diversity of people of color in the candidates as well as the proportional representation and 50% of women. In other words, that has to be your candidate pool. It requires for us to put a lot of effort into going to those communities and getting people that represent their communities. That's one. My objection to the constituency model is that at least in Los Angeles, for example, we have been trying for 4 years to try to get an Asian Pacific Islander on the local advisory board. They're overwhelmed because there are very few progressive Asian Pacific Islanders, at least in Los Angeles, and they're already overwhelmed with their work and their communities. And so it isn't for a lack of will or trying, and I think this gets entirely, that I think it would be sufficient with 50-50. That's it.
Okay, David.
Thanks. David Green, KPFA. I stand opposed to the unity model. I think that, first off, the discussion that just took place is an illustration and a microcosm of what might take place as we try to implement it in terms of having people define who they are and where they stand, and not only just candidates but also voters. I think it's just it's a logistical nightmare, especially compared to the simplicity of choice voting system. The legal issues, I know that Carol, I think, has raised some concerns, and she can speak to those perhaps. In this hybrid model, as we're talking about giving voters more than one vote so that they can vote for any of the constituencies or any and all of the constituencies, there you're devolving into the at-large voting system where you give a voter five votes for five members of the board, which basically means that any majority, any 51% majority constituency of the electorate can elect all the members of the seats that are up for election. Should I repeat that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
If this board were being elected today, we have eight of you here, so everyone in this room is given eight votes. Well, if you have 51% of the people voting all vote for the same eight people, then those people will be elected. And 49% of the people here who might approve of a different set of eight candidates, well, they'd have only 49% of the vote for all eight seats. So they would be shut out of any representation.
That's the same as what we have now, winner-take-all
candidates. That's winner-take-all applied to an at-large system. So as you start opening up votes to numerous constituencies, you're getting away from one person, one vote. You're getting into majority 51% ruling representation. And not to digress, but there's a fundamental concept. There's how you decide policy, which usually should be majority rule. But how you decide representation, why should that be majority rule? Why should 51% of the people decide who represents for the entire electorate? That's why we do proportionality. We say that 10% of the people should be able to have their fair share of seats. And this diversity, this protection of diversity is inherent in choice voting. It's inherent. It means that the same effort involved in going out to different communities to recruit people to run for the different constituencies, everything that's described in the hybrid model, if that same amount of effort is applied to a choice voting model where you say, we need to go out to the communities, we need you to run under choice voting, you will have the election and the fair representation, the fair allocation of representation to as many communities as can be afforded. Now, of course, the hybrid model is saying, well, you know, 24 seats isn't enough to get adequate diversity. We want 36. Well, that's the debate that should be taking place. Do you need a larger board? Well, there you bump up to the issues of how can a board successfully function. And I think the decision has been made that 24 seats is a maximum number that really works. And anybody who's been on a board can probably speak to that. So within that constraint of 24 seats, how do you most fairly allocate and fairly represent the diversity of the electorate? Choice voting is really the only answer that's been put forth today. So thanks.
Okay, we don't need that. Okay, Stephen, something new, right?
Something new. In the United States, Stephen Brown from BAI Listening Area, in the United States elections and in many other public elections and private elections, voters are asked to identify their race, their gender, their religion, their ethnic background, their sex. If they decline to do so, they may still vote. In this constituency model, voters are asked to identify themselves by race, by gender, by ethnic background. If they decline to do so, they cannot vote. They're forbidden to vote in a manner equal to all. In a manner equal to all the other people who are able to vote. They cannot vote in all the categories. It's unequal. So I think that since it is against public policy and is probably illegal under U.S. law, I think we should stop wasting any more time discussing the constituency model.
Thank you. Susan.
Could I just make a point of information? The hybrid model before us eliminated the requirement of registering by constituency, and everyone gets to vote in all constituencies under the hybrid model.
Susan.
This is Susan DeSilva of KPFA. If we were going to go with a hybrid model, which I don't advocate, a simpler way of doing it would be just to do proportional representation, but then have more set-asides than we've talked about, more than just the 50% color, 50% women. Make it more, say X number of seats for each one, and then just do the whole election with proportional representation, and then take those set asides as you're going through who won, go down to the next person that you need to fill the seat, which is essentially what we do with our 50% color, 50% women. I'm not advocating we do that, but if we were going to go to the hybrid, that would be just a simpler way and a fairer way of getting to the same result of having all those different set-asides. In proportional representation, our experience is, and I think David can back me up, that every single voter, or a very high percentage, well over 90-whatever percent, get to have somebody on that board that they wanted. If you don't get your first choice, then your whole vote goes to your second choice. If you don't get your second choice, your whole vote goes to your third choice. So the effect is that every person comes out feeling that they got somebody that they can look to and say, that's my person that I wanted to have up there, and they're up there. Nobody gets to say, I have this whole block that I got up there. And so it really is a fair way of getting a lot of diversity, and we have shown that. We didn't have to use our diversity criteria the last go-round. They're good to have there as a fallback, but they weren't absolutely necessary. Okay.
Thank you. Paul, you have something new that you haven't already given us.
Yes, I think I'd like to clarify the proposal that's before you. Donna's proposal maintains the requirement that members register according... Donna's proposal requires that nomination of candidates and constituencies take place and be done by members who have self-identified as members of those constituencies. Now, I don't know if they're going to have to register in that capacity or in some other formal way indicate that they're members of the constituencies. In addition, her concept of membership is not the definition that was adopted by this board just a few minutes ago. Her concept of membership is anyone who self-identifies, I believe, as a listener of a radio station. Is that
okay,
correct?
But we're not dealing with that now.
Okay. I wanted to clarify what's before
whatever
you.
Whatever the election model is, it would be for the members as we define the members.
Okay, I just think that you should know all the facts. As far as the proposal itself, in principle, if it were to be a subscriber-based model in which all voters voted for all candidates, it would not conflict with what we have been advocating. However, from a practical point of view, I think the 50% requirement is much more effective, as was described by Lydia, for the very reason that probably in all of the listening areas, we're going to have difficulty getting enough candidates to fill all the seats. And whether, you know, we can get a candidate from the immigrant community and a candidate from the prisoner community and a candidate from the youth community and a candidate from all of the various constituencies that are listed, I think is highly questionable. We're going to be able to get good candidates in some kind of a mix that we're not going to be able to predict in advance. And that's, I think, why we should go with the generic requirement.
Thank you. Okay, I have Ted. Let me just say what I got here. I got Ted, Miguel, and Michael. That was when I closed the list before. I know, but I want to know how long the board wants to continue on hearing the comments. That there are three people who were on the list that when I said before, that's the list. In the meantime, I understand you're raising your hand now. In the meantime, two or three other people have also raised their hands. So there's three people. Do you want to close it at that point, or should I take the two or three others? I'm asking for the board. Take the other one? Okay, so it'd be Serene. Okay, point of information is different. And who was it? Margaret?
Margaret?
You'll be the last one. That's it, then. That will be it. Okay. Now, Donna, you said you had a point of information, which is different. Mike.
In response to what Paul just said, if he had looked at my proposal, he would have seen that it says, once the votes are tallied, the same process as used in the KPFA model would be used to ensure at least 50% people of color and at least 50% women are seated.
So he was formulating it as either or, but in this proposal, it's both.
Okay, Ted.
I'm not speaking right now about any particular model. What I am speaking about is the fact that you just a few moments ago voted to allow grandparenting in certain stations and not grandparenting in other stations.
No, we didn't.
We
didn't address the issue. We didn't conclude the issue.
Okay, you didn't conclude it. But I want to make an analogy that relates to this, and that is that there will be, just by if that is done, there will be different systems that will be in place in different stations in that particular context. I want to suggest to you that there can be, if you were to allow each of the five signal areas to, through their labs, craft election procedures, and then they bring them to the national board, and it says, in Houston, the methodology will be such. In New York, it will be such.
Okay, I think we already addressed that issue before about the California corporate code.
And the corporate code, you said, Leslie, that different lawyers can interpret things differently. I'm not a lawyer, but it says, the language does say, there is the chance, as long as there are fair mechanisms. And I think that that language allows for what I just said.
Okay. Miguel? We got Miguel and then Michael. And Serene.
Miguel Maldonado from WBAI. I just going to have some doubt, and maybe I'm going to challenge everybody, that so far Pacifica, including myself and all of us, fail in bringing the 100 or whatever, any other groups. And now people trying to talk about that, like they're going to be easy. I mean, look at yourself, okay? I mean, we fail. And it's still we keep pushing. But the thing is that a bunch of activists who are involved in 20,000 different struggles, and now they're going to stop all of that and they're going to organize. I'm going to bring the Pacifica, Pacific Islander and so on. I remember that when we polled to do some work in the Dominican community, we brought not that many people. During the struggle, we approached to a bunch of people from different ethnic groups. And we having in WBAI like a meeting with 2,000 people, and we end up sometime with people with 50 people in a meeting. And then it's still people talking about, I mean, people are living in a fantasy world here. And we just came to explain how to vote. And I remember, like, in New York, there was about 3 years ago, there was an election, and there was some different proposition. And Giuliani was really hot, you know, killing people and all of that, supporting the police. And 11% of the people made all the decision. I mean, 11% of the people vote in an election, and they decide what goes. And it seems to me that how the system in New York failed to bring those people to vote, this is Pacifica. And you're telling me that an election that most of us don't even understand what Donna was talking about, that we're going to convince those people. I mean, Leslie said, I've been involved in this for 6 months or maybe more. I don't know. I don't remember what she said. But do we want to convince people who haven't heard that much about it how complicated the system that they're going to vote? And I was sitting down there. I said, why would we have to make this so complicated? Why not to make it as simple as we can, that maybe that guarantee that not 11% of the membership of WBAI will decide the future of the whole of WBAI. And it seems to me that we should make this simple. I mean, I said that 50% men, women, or people of color, I think this is a compromise that people should be considered. To me, that is the compromise, and that's the way to go. And the proportional representation should be applied on that. I think that when it comes to the United States, internal election had the worst system in the whole planet. Like in Mexico has a very advanced system when it comes to people voting, when they've been talking about human rights and all of that. But the whole system and how the United States vote is worse. You can even, I don't know where to go.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, thank you. Okay, Michael.
Michael Pimentel from KPFT, soon to be from KPFK. I just wanted to suggest that you guys need to write bylaws which are going to be passed by three of the five labs. And I'm just going to suggest that an election method like this is not going to pass three of the five labs. So I'd like to suggest that you might want to consider. I mean, it might be quite appropriate in certain areas to implement such concepts and put these things into action. I don't see anything wrong with that, but to put it in the bylaws here, it just seems like it's going to cost us time and trouble.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Serene.
Margaret.
Okay, and then Marguerite.
I'm talking about the hybrid.
Okay. Whatever you're talking about.
Yeah, I just wanted to speak to, you know, a couple of points, just in terms of actual facts. In terms of our outreach strategy, we've already shown that this is practical and possible in terms of reaching these communities. First of all, in the outreach we've done, we've had within the Asian community itself, just the Asian community, Filipinos, Koreans, Japanese, Chinese, who've come to the outreach organizations, who are active, who are involved in their own communities, and who are listeners of WBAI and Pacifica and are engaged in this process and want to support the process. In Arabs, Muslims, we've had them all in these meetings. We've had women, we've had handicapped people coming in wheelchairs. So in effect, we've shown over the last 6 months that in fact, this from a practical standpoint is very doable. And this is with, by the way, an outreach process that's very haphazard, that's not focused, don't have people doing it, you know, every single day. And one of the things I think everybody and all the listeners, all of the stations are agreeing on, that we need to have in Pacifica permanent outreach people who would supplement the outreach process. So if we did that in complementing this process, we believe this would be definitely possible because we've shown that it already is possible. Okay, and I think that's a fundamental thing. The other thing within the context of these constituencies, if they do not exist in a given listener area, in a given signal area, they don't exist. We're not saying to create something that does not exist. So people are trying to say if we don't have this particular constituency in our community, it's not workable. That's not what the motto is saying. The motto is saying where those constituencies exist.
Okay, and Marguerite? Because she had signed up when I asked who wanted to speak, she put her hand up.
Margaret Dominique from the WBAI New York area. I just wanted to say that it's been echoed in here many times that we want to uphold Pacifica's mission. And in essence, it's not true, okay? We don't want to give voice to the voiceless. We don't want to bring aboard people who are disenfranchised and discriminated upon. What we want to do is to have representation on the board locally, on the national board, that will speak for these people without having any connection to these community. What I'm saying is that I want to be represented on this board. And by representation, I mean I don't want a black person sitting on the board that, although he's black, but doesn't speak to my issues. I don't want me being from Haiti. Ray is from Haiti, right? Also. But what I'm saying is I don't want someone there. I want to have a choice in saying this person, although he's from Haiti or from the black American community, represent me and understand my issues and is accountable to me. I'm going to have, I don't want a Clarence Thomas, or Colonel Powell or none of these. The black community don't want these people making decisions for them. They want the decision to come from them. And we, as a group of progressive, refuse to give those people that we say we represent the chance to make decisions for themselves. That is the bottom line. And we've come up with every excuses that when we can imagine that it's not possible to do outreach, and well, it's been proven time and time, and it's being done. I think we should be honest with ourselves and really say, and not speak like politicians, the people, where the people has nothing to do with it.
Okay, sorry, Patty. Okay, folks, I want to go back to the board. There are two models, basically, before us. One is 50% people of color, 50% women, you know, at least. The other is the hybrid model, right, without repeating all the details. No, proportional representation
is within both of them.
That doesn't seem to be a fight about that or an issue about that.
Can we increase the number of set-asides or increase the number of seats?
In other words, instead of at least 50% people of color have 60% or whatever the number would be.
And is there a way, what Lydia was saying about building in the diversity requirement at the candidate stage, because I think that's really important.
What does that mean?
I don't know how it would manifest.
Can I say something?
Yeah, Ray and then Carol.
But the problem I have with I don't know what that means, reinforcing. And I was having a good discussion with some people from KBFA, and not to my surprise, they told me that the Asian community, which is one of the largest one in proportionally in the country, is not represented on the lab of KPFA, that there are no Native American, that there are no, there's nobody who's disabled represented. So to me, the model clearly has flaws. So we're not attacking people in the sense of this is not good. We're saying that there's a different system that might be better. What I've heard here is really people are tired, maybe, you know. We talk about the lowest common denominator. I challenge the notion that we cannot mobilize the communities to come. We've done, Muntu has addressed that to some extent. I've seen evidence of it without the stations being involved at all. I mean, there's no outreach coordinator in WBI. The station has spent absolutely no time recruiting to people and forget about actually having programming that are relevant to people. So to me, the notion that this is all we can do, so we might as well just split the little thing among us, it's really defeatist and a notion. Also, although I understand what David Green said, this model doesn't address what Margaret is saying, which is not just to have people representing specific ethnic groups, but that these are people in those communities involved in the struggle, one. Second, that we guarantee, not that individual or particular section of the groups that we prefer, but that we guarantee that those voices are heard for now. When things are different, then we can relax, and because we pay a price for that, for any process we choose. So what we're submitting here is that the price of not including those communities is a greater one than having the notion that if I could vote for everybody somehow, this is better. I mean, I can think of many examples. Some people might disagree with their significance or relevance in terms to this. I vote on the 27th district, whatever I vote in New York, because that's where I live. So I don't have the choice to vote in the neighboring district. So there are many limitations. I also vote for only for the amount of candidates that are present. So I don't decide that. If they happen not to visit my point of view, well, I can choose what I want, but I still don't get what I want. So this is my point, that I wish we would raise the bar and be a little bit more positive. Miguel mentioned I don't know what education he used, but that we should wake up. I think we should wake up and see what we have a tremendous tool in our hands, and that unless precisely we can do this, if we cannot do this, we cannot defeat the empire.
Okay. Carol?
If we were to go with a hybrid model, then what we would need to do is not leave it up to the local boards. We would need each of the local boards to meet and design their criteria, submit it to the national board, and we would have to put five different sets of election rules into the bylaws. That's the law. We have to do it. I'm not saying that's impossible. It could be done. But we can't leave it up to the local boards to decide somewhere else in some other document. It has to be in the bylaws. One. I'm very concerned about the point that David made that 51% could elect all the seats in this manner. I think that defeats the whole reason that the Unity Caucus explained time and again about choosing their own representatives from their communities to speak for them. If I was a white person entitled to vote in all of the different constituencies, and all of the other white people are, and all of the Latinos are voting for the African Americans, and all of the African Americans are voting for the Asians or African ancestry, then that's not what you're getting. That's not what you said that's what you wanted. That's not what you're getting. 51% of the voters of all races, genders, nationalities, and ethnicities will choose who's on this board. It will not. If everybody votes for the Asian American seat, then everybody chooses who's filling the Asian ancestry seat. Not Asians. Asians are not choosing who fills the Asian ancestry seat. So,
that was your main criticism.
Well, so I'm saying that this does not accomplish what it was originally put forward to ask for. Just a minute, please. proportional representation voting. If folks, I'm sorry, folks, when you all were up at the mic speaking, I don't believe people up here were interrupting you. And the mumble, the talk, the crosstalk is very much an interruption. So please, let these folks up here speak. Okay. If we use a choice voting proportional representation system, a constituency group can self-identify and get someone elected. If you've got 10% of the voters and there are 10 seats available, you can get someone elected. And you can defeat the other 90%, and you can get that person on the board. But if everybody is voting for every seat, you have to get 51% of the votes to get that seat filled, which means you have to convince 51% of all the different ethnic groups. So I think the underlying desire for people to choose their own representatives who speak for them, who are so you can look at that board and say, yes, that's the person I chose to represent me, my community, my struggle, my understandings about politics. If you, a constituency group can do that through a proportional representation system. It just seems to me that the underlying reason for this is being lost when we go to this hybrid model. And why is it even out here if it doesn't accomplish that people get a real representative whom they have chosen on the board?
Okay, I thought, this is my thinking, and I'm sure the folks, Unity Caucus, will straighten me out if I'm wrong. But the reason that this hybrid model exists is because one of the major criticisms I've been hearing about the Unity, about the constituency model, is that, everybody, I might see a Native American over here that I think is a good candidate, but I don't have a choice, and this is divisive. And you're only letting Native Americans vote for Native Americans. Everybody should be able to vote for who they want to be able to vote for. And now that they have attempted to answer that, now you're saying, oh, no, this isn't right. Am I right? And that's like trying to hit a moving target. I mean, they're trying to move toward compromise because the main thing I think they want, which I'd like to think we all want, I think, is that their self-determination and that the folks who are there really represent their community.
That's right.
So that's something we all want, and that was the reason this even came about in the first place. And they were trying to meet you, with that you plural, to say, well, okay, you don't like this part, but now we can do it this way.
No.
It's use.
Yeah, use.
Yeah, use guys. Dave Freda, KPFK, 90.7, sorry.
It's old.
I know, it's old. It's not as old as KPFA, though, and we'll be much older before this foundation ever goes anywhere, because we're going to create a model that will work one way or another. We're not going to create a perfect model. We're going to create a model that can evolve to a good model, to a workable model, through a lot of challenges and hard work. I really appreciate the Unity model that was presented. I didn't feel good about it. I felt that it was problematic, and I see the move towards compromise. I appreciate Janice's feeling that, yeah, it is a moving target. Well, wait a second. Now you're saying, now you say will, now you say won't. I mean, my discomfort with the Unity model survives into my discomfort with the compromise model, frankly. I agree we need to destroy the historic pattern of exclusion in our society and within Pacifica. We need to include people by making certain the doors open and making sure we get people to that door. Make sure that door is open. And it's not outreach, it's inreach, whatever you want to call it. It's just getting the community out there. And we need to do that. And I was heartened to hear that indeed the outreach in New York was quite effective. A question arises, if the outreach is sufficiently effective, then the idea of force feeding candidates through a identified sieve becomes less necessary, perhaps. But I'm just concerned that if we have a pool of diverse candidates, I agree with the notion that Lydia Brazon from KPFK suggested that there should be a requirement that the pool of candidates be sufficially diverse to begin with. I think
how do you do that?
By saying that we don't go until we get a diverse pool of candidates, and we force people to do the kind of outreach. But then once we've done that, amongst those people who have elected to become sponsors of Pacifica by whatever criteria, that we allow them to choose from those people with a sufficiently effective proportional representation system to enable groups of people to elect those so that everyone does have a representative up there and that nobody doesn't. But if we allow those pool of voters to make that selection amongst the candidates, I dare say I would not want to say that their selection was illegitimate if we've created a sufficient system. It may not be diverse. We might not have a Native American. We might not have a Pacific Asian Islander. We might have that. We might not have someone else. But if we have a sufficiently diverse pool of people, we've done outreach, we've got people involved in the organization, those people on the boards that are helping to guide the governance of this organization will be there, hopefully, with a sufficient perspective to ensure that the voice that goes out over the air is indeed fully representative. They may not all the voices be on the board, but they darn sure better be on the air. And I think that we're doing well for that. And so I would speak against the so-called unity model, the compromise, I'm not sure what it's called, and I would vote in favor for the KPFA model.
Okay. Other board people, Durab?
I'd just like to say that I have a great deal of sympathy with the people from the Unity Caucus because I think there is a great deal of discomfort about the way this organization has traditionally managed the structures of power and control. And I think what we're trying to do on the board in the bylaw process should be to find both governance mechanisms as well as systems for interacting between the listeners, the labs, station management, that create better roles and relationships, that break down the lack of trust, that gets people that are not used to working with each other to coming together. I would simply like to say that I have skepticism about whether or not the model will work, but as a board member, I feel like we ought to let the people from New York put it to a vote and give it a try and see if it works. I don't think we're going to overcome some of these structural problems we've built into Pacifica over 50 years without trying to do things differently. So if we have any flexibility in this first period of trying different methods, maybe now is the time to do it. Maybe we can learn something from that. The lawyers will certainly have lots of ideas, but in the reality, if we want to make it work, we can make it work. I'm not convinced. I know it would be better if we only followed a single method for everyone. It would be easier. But I think what we're hearing is there is not sufficient trust in the way things have worked in the past. If there is a way for us to allow different signal areas to conduct these initial elections along lines that convince them that they have self-determination, maybe we should allow them to do it in this current period and then see what we learn from those examples.
Okay, Carol.
You going to take a break?
No, we're going to take a break in a few minutes.
Once we've given members specific rights as to who and how they vote, we can't change them unless they agree. So that's one of the things that makes experimenting less attractive to me. If we set up a system that doesn't work, we can't just say, oh, it didn't work, you know, let's do something different. We have to get our membership to agree to the change. So that's problematic. And I'm very sincerely and deeply impressed with the work and the strong feeling behind it. And I do not think that the opposition to that, to this proposal, is an opposition to people having authentic voices representing them on our boards. I think that is entirely a misperception. I think that if we look at what proportional representation does, that's what it's designed to do. And I would really, 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 really hope that every person of African ancestry would be advocating for Latino voices to be heard on our air. And that every person of Latino ancestry would be advocating for women's voices to be heard on our air. and that every woman would be advocating for Asian voices on our air, and that we all really, really commit strenuously, deeply, and passionately to hearing the unrepresented, unspoken words of this country so that we can understand and resolve the causes of our conflict.
Okay. So, are there other comments?
Okay. I'd like to just spill some water on the table real quick. thank you. Never mind. No. Nothing, no damage. Pretty good. Okay. I wanted to note that I disagree with your analysis, Carol, relative to this proposal. I think that the compromise proposal does not, it has the same class of members. It's one election. It doesn't give specific voting rights to one category or subcategory of people as distinct from another. At
you
least
want to eliminate the Asian seat? Do you need to take it to the bylaw?
Well, it's a different thing from saying that you're going to have different categories for those who are being elected as opposed to categories of who gets to vote. You're not, in other words, if you say we're not going to have, instead of having two seats of this category, I don't like the model. I think the idea of categories is divisive, frankly. I think it does set up some dynamics which, you know, as a white guy, I don't relate to, obviously. I'm not experienced the kind of oppression and racism that others have. But from my perspective, in my life, what I can see of it, I think that it bodes ill for the dynamics of this organization. And my experience with other progressive organizations that have succeeded in getting a majority, literally two-thirds of the minority and majority women. So I've seen that work. So setting that aside, though, in the analysis, though, I just merely would say I don't think that by, for example, saying there'll be, instead of two seats for this category, there'll now be one, you're not altering the you're not taking away anyone's right to vote. You're really changing the character of the people being elected. And so I do not believe that that falls afoul of the California Corporations Code.
California Corporations Code requires the approval of the members for any change in the bylaws that materially adversely affects their voting rights. Now, it's material if you eliminate the Asian seat or the prisoner seat. Whether it's adverse depends on whether you're Asian or a prisoner. But certainly we don't want to be litigating that. But if over time the composition of the community, the issues that are important to us change, the ability to get to change the distribution of the seats would require approval of the members. That's all I'm saying.
Well, okay. So the point I was making, I disagree with the analysis. I don't think that it would, and I think that certainly a legal analysis of it would be warranted to ensure that that's sound. And if it were sound, and really most importantly, if it were legitimate for us to have different voting constructs in different areas, and most vitally, if indeed we're considered the most popularly supported voting mechanism amongst New York voters, then perhaps it would be viable. I'm not comfortable with it. I speak against it. I really wanted to clarify that technicality and also point out, like I said, if it's legal, if it's really, really desired by the people in that area, and if it would not otherwise create problems for us legally, then...
Well, if I could say something. Oh, I'm sorry. We have to... How much time we got?
Then it should be possible.
3 minutes?
We can take
one saying 3 minutes and one saying right now. I just need to know, do I have a minute to speak or not? 1 minute? I will take a break. Yeah, sure, we're taking a 1 minute break here.
Right.
How many characters?
Yeah,
Okay, we're back on. We're back on. I want to thank people again. If people can do this, that's great. I just want to remind people that at 7 o'clock we're going to be reconvening for this meeting. So I don't know what hours this goes to. Okay. Anyway, so I just wanted, folks, George, Carol, we're reconvening. All right. I just want, you're going to miss my brilliant insights. I just need to sort of express where I am on this issue. I think those of you in New York certainly know this because I've said it, you know, any number of times in any number of meetings and discussions. I've had very serious, for me anyway, serious problems with and disagreements with the constituency model for political / theoretical reasons, and I don't know that I have the time or the energy right now to sort of go into all of it. And those of you again from New York have heard a lot of this already, and yet I do certainly agree with the motivation for this and where it's coming from. I also, though, do not hear from anybody else. Anybody else on this board, certainly, and from a lot of other people too, any disagreement with pushing ourselves as an organization to put into practice systems to ensure diversity and inclusiveness and representation. The disagreement is on the best mechanisms to do that. And that's been my criticism of the constituency model, was on the mechanism for doing that, not on the desire to do that or the commitment to do that. And I think that's true for other people as well. I appreciate all the work that's gone on into thinking about it and all the work that's gone into the hybrid model. And I can see how it's definitely different from the original constituency model. So I also appreciate the steps that folks who came up with the constituency model are taking or will take, you know, through the hybrid model. Having said that, I also still disagree with the hybrid model. As I understand the way, one of the reasons that I think we're having difficulty with proportional representation is that we're not used to doing it. It's not the model of voting, either in the country at large or in most of the organizations probably that most of us are in. So it is a jump in our own consciousness to understand how it's going to work and how it's going to serve this same goal of diversity and representation. But I do believe, and again, I could be wrong also, I'm certainly willing to admit that, and it may not work, but I do believe that if we have certain requirements, and I think that maybe we need to raise the bar, maybe it's 60% people of color or whatever the number is, that I believe that combination of having some minimal number of, you know, at least X percent people of color and X percent women, that the proportional voting model is the one that we should go with. I do feel quite strongly, regardless of the law and what the law says, or above and beyond what the law might say, I really do want uniformity. I want to suggest that uniformity in the election procedures are one of the ways that we help strengthen this notion of being a national network, that we share certain things, that certain ways that we do things we share in common. There's going to still be a lot of differences from station to station, and most of that's going to show up in the programming, but I think some of the procedures that we do and the decision-making structures, there needs to be some uniformity and commonality around the network. So I really do want to have one election system that works around the network. I really think that we should go with the proportional voting with a minimal number of people of color seats, or seats for people of color and seats for women. Having said that, I also know that I think there's strong commitment for a bylaws review process. This is one of the things that could be looked at then. I'd rather go with this system and do it throughout the network and review that after 18 months or however long it is down the road, and which actually speaks to the question of when that review should be and have we had enough time to play out a lot of these things. But that's for later on in the agenda. And then if it needs more tweaking and more changing, you know, I would do it that way instead of the other way around. So that's where I stand. So, vote.
Yeah. Before we vote, is there a way we can at least raise the bar on this other thing?
The 60%?
Yeah, 60% people of color.
I don't think it addresses the issue, though.
No, well,
I really don't think so. I mean, I don't want to see less white people are entitled to voice. I mean, I think that's the solution. I think that, for example, the way the system exists, it doesn't guarantee 50%. Because if the person with the least amount of, the least amount of vote among the whites, if that person has 4,000 and the person of color after that follows has less than 2,000, they won't get that position anyway. So it's really a goal.
Yes, they would if there's a minimum.
Even if they have less than half?
No,
I thought that was your proposition.
Ray is correct. The way the model is written now, and it could change, a person to fill the last seat available, suppose you don't have at least 50% women. I'm going to say women. That's less charged for some reason. Not for me.
Some of us.
Suppose that you don't have 50% women. The last seat available needs to be filled by a woman. And the man with the next highest in natural order of voting has 300 votes. And the next woman in order has 100. That's not half of 300. She would not be seated as it is drafted now. We did that because at the last KPFA election, that's what happened. Our last seat needed to be filled by a woman of color to meet both of our criterion. We didn't have a woman of color running, none, which is an outreach problem, a very serious outreach problem. The next person in line who was a person of color, we had an outreach problem. We didn't have enough candidates. The next person in line who was a person of color was a write-in candidate with 14 votes. And people felt very strongly that the seat could not be filled by someone with 14 votes. It had to be filled by someone who had generated some support, some measurable support. So we seated the next woman in line who had a sufficient showing of support. I think that is an issue. I think that we have to, if we're going to say that somebody on the board speaks for somebody, whoever it is, that there has to be some minimum against which you measure that support. You cannot fill the last seat on the board with somebody who got 10 votes or 5 or 2. So where do you draw the line? Is it half the number that would have been needed to get seated? Is it a quarter the number that would have been needed to get seated? I don't care. Let's just set it at some arbitrary place, but it is there. So I confirm you're correct.
Okay. So I'm trying to just figure out how to frame this, because obviously we don't have, I mean, there are details to work out whichever way it goes, right? There's a lot of details to work out whichever way it goes. So what we're looking for now is just the approach.
Up and down on the unity model, on the compromise model?
Okay, so should we start up or down on the hybrid model?
Hybrid.
Yeah, Donna. Mike.
Put a mic on there.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think this should be framed as a vote between the hybrid model and the KPFA model. I think the question is, it's about the rules of elections, whether the rules of elections should be written in such a way that it permits the hybrid model or it doesn't. And if it specifies
permits
proportional...
Gives a choice.
Okay, so maybe the first question is whether or not we can allow each station to have its own election model.
Yes.
So long as it's written in the bylaws. Right.
That's right.
Well, its own election model within limit. I mean, this is a very specific thing that we are asking for a variation in.
But the first thing I'm asking, the first thing we have to resolve, it seems to me, is whether or not we're going to have uniformity of the election model.
Right,
that all five stations, or if we're going to allow for differences. That's the first thing we need to settle. Then if it's uniformity, then there's only one discussion we have to have. What is that model? What is that uniformity? If it's not, if we're going to go the other way where each station, each single area could have its own system, but it gets written into the bylaws, then there's a different...
To formulate it as uniformity or each one has its own, I think that has a particular bias in the formulation. Is there uniformity or is there some... Yes, okay.
Okay, uniformity or not, just to clarify it, okay? Right. Just you know, because things get unclear. Okay, I'm going to put this as a positive, right? All those who would like to see uniformity in the election system in all five stations, please raise your hands. One, two... Three, four. No, okay. And all those who say no. All those who don't agree with that. One, two, three. All those who don't feel that there needs to be uniformity.
Three.
No, I know, but James was...
I still have to think about this.
Okay, so he's...
Are you voting on us?
He's not ready to vote on it.
It changes the whole dynamic.
Right.
Can I just speak very briefly? Because
there's only eight of us here right now. He's not in the room. I don't know where he is. In the room.
It changes the dynamic because
folks, let James speak. James is speaking.
Because what I was addressing. Can I speak? Damn it!
All right. Never seen him angry.
What I was addressing was that the hybrid would be a uniform system. That's the way I was to understand.
Right.
Okay, that was the only book that I understood at that point.
All I was suggesting is uniformity or not. If it's uniformity, then it's hybrid or something else. Right? If it's not uniformity, then, you know, what are the range of possibilities that
Then if that's the case, then I would vote for the second diversity.
Not uniformity. Okay, so what is it? Four and four. Okay, so it's deadlock, and even if Jabari was in the room, it'd be by one. There's obviously a split among our ranks. So maybe it's time for a drink.
But Leslie, I'd like to add, though. I mean, I like to add.
I suggest I have a second. Do I have a second? Does anybody have a recommendation?
Yeah, I recommend we sell the foundation to people who have some sense enough to just...
Okay, Susan maybe has a suggestion.
I recommend that you hear from the lab chairs about how the labs will come... How we know our labs will come down on this. Because Michael Pimentel had a good point in that we're spending a lot of time.
Okay, but let me just interrupt you. I learned a long time ago you don't know how a vote is going to be cast until it's cast. You just don't know that. That whatever comes out of here, somebody might go back to their labs and make a persuasive argument one way or the other. Mm-hmm. So...
Yeah.
So we can't do that. So here's Jabari.
here he is, the prince.
Because Rick waiting.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to figure out where we are now in our process. I don't believe that just another round of discussion right now is going to.
Not quite. After a drink, maybe, but not right away.
No, thank you. What I want to suggest is that we lay this to rest for a moment, and then we're going to have to come back to it.
I would just suggest that if we have a vote, I mean, it's clear that we know the issues, but I don't like to present it. It's like, are you for freedom or not? Those for freedom, raise your hand. Those others.
And we have not done that, right?
Okay, no, not quite. But I'm saying that I'm not against the diversity. I think that let's make clear that it's going to take place within a very strict national. A set of rules that would dictate how much freedom each area would have.
No, Ray, I don't think that's really necessary. I think that this board, at this point in the afternoon and in the discussion, is split on the question of whether or not there is a uniform model for the elections applied to each five listing areas or not. And it's not a question of freedom or not. It's just a question of a difference of opinion on that.
But I like to spell out the way it would be implemented, that it be clear to people who are new, who have any doubt, that it's being done with a very strict, narrow format, national framework that would dictate you have to meet all the,
That were there to be...
All requirements.
Were there to not be uniformity...
The
Ray is suggesting that we see by a straw poll if people feel comfortable where in a situation where there were not uniformity, that the parameters of what the election model would be for each city would have to adhere to guidelines set by the national.
Exactly.
Okay? Is that clear? Can we have a straw poll on that?
On what? It's discussed in section 6 in the next section.
Where is that?
On
fair campaign provisions?
That's within each one.
That's
within each city. That's fair. Let me try and clarify it again. What Ray was saying is that maybe, I think, if I might, or what I...